Welcome back to another episode of the Bureau Podcast. I am reaching over the pond here. We're visiting with Jacob from Denmark. Jacob Farholt, who is a Denmark artist. You've might have seen him on Bandcamp or heard of his music. He's a prolific songwriter. 11 albums in English. We haven't even counted the Danish albums that he's put out. And he's here to kind of talk to us a little bit about himself, his music, and where he's going in 2024. So welcome, Jacob. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Yeah.
Yeah. So my first Danish interview, been a long time follower. Your music has hit grabbed me right from the first track that I listened to, and your first record. And it's been fun to kind of go back and listen to your tracks. But my first question to you is, where did it all start, Jacob? Like, where did music start for you as you were growing up? And like maybe a little bit of the evolution through your parents to school. Like, what was the kinds of music you were listening to? And at one point in life, did you kind of start feeling like music was going to be something that was going to be present in your life, forever?
Yeah, the first time I remember like being really into to certain artists were like way back, maybe sixth grade or something like that. But they were like, Swedish pop band Roxette and stuff like that. There's this Danish kind of hard rock band called at that time I think they were called Disneyland After Dark, but they had to change the name to DAD. So it was not music I would continue with, but it kind of woke up an interest. But I guess around when I was 15 and started listening to the whole grunge thing, but also especially the Smashing Pumpkins' Siamese Dream, which I guess is maybe not a grunge album, but around the same time. That really, really stuck with me, and I found something really intense and in that album, I remember.
Great record.
Yeah, very good
Really
album.
powerful stuff that they put out, yeah.
Exactly. So that was around the time where I really carved out a taste that kind of stuck with me.
What
But
did your parents listen to growing up? Do you remember, like, were they big into music as well, or was that more of
yeah,
your thing?
my father was especially into music. So there was always music on the stereo, and I remember him having Automatic for the People by REM, which to this day, like the band is one of my all-time favorite bands. But then he was also into like classic stuff like Elton John and all, yeah, so but I remember him having that REM CD. So there was, yeah, we would go to record shops and stuff like that when we were in town. And actually I think I was about 15, 16 where I wanted to learn how to play guitar, so I guess my interest was big enough for that. And I actually started taking guitar lessons with my father, like together with my father. He had a friend that played guitar, so yeah, that was the first small steps to playing an instrument myself. And
And like
he dropped it very fast, but I continued. But I was never really interested in learning, like being a very technical guitar player, anything like that. I didn't practice that much. Immediately I was into try writing songs with the few chords I had learned. So that was like the focus from the beginning. Yeah.
What was it, in Denmark, like, what was the music scene like when you were kind of into your teenage years and kind of getting older? Like, what
Yeah.
scene did you connect with your music, or like, okay, I'm going to start playing guitar. I'm really into music. Like, what was the scene like there? Can you describe that a bit for us?
Yeah, around that time, there were some pretty cool like bands that were kind of inspired, I guess, by what was going on in the U.S. with the Seattle stuff and all that kind of. Also inspired by, I guess, Radiohead and stuff like that. There was this band called Kashmir. I really liked them, but they were not like, I don't consider them an inspiration for my own stuff. I guess it was a bit too technical and produced maybe, but very good songs. But there was this other act called Psyched Up Janice. I really liked them. They were more like also inspired by more like noise rock, maybe Dinosaur Jr. and all that kind of stuff. They're very cool and a bit more, what can I say, unpolished or something like that. Right. And they actually transformed into, or the lead singer into, the Rave Units. Maybe you heard of them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he made a lot of albums as the Rave Units.
Yeah.
But they reunited also as Psyched Up Janice, and I'm actually going to a show, I think it's in April, here in Horsens, actually, with them. So they're still playing. So that's, yeah.
That's really
Other than
cool.
That, I remember what really turned me on in terms of writing my own stuff, my own songs, like helped me find a way. And that was this band, Sophia. Have you heard about them? It's an American guy called Robin Proper Shepherd, and he had this band called The Guard Machine way back in early 90s. It was kind of like really alternative metal, I guess you can call them. Okay. But they stopped, as far as I know, because their bass player died of cancer, I think, very tragically. Mm. And then he returned, Robin Proper Shepherd, with this project called Sophia, and they came to Aarhus, the second biggest town in Denmark, and I lived nearby. Mm. And when I saw him play, I was just totally blown away, because it was in 1996, I think. So the other stuff that was in my life was, you know, Nirvana, Smashing Pumpkins, Soundgarden, Alice in Chains, all that stuff. But this was just a guy with an acoustic guitar and very simple chords and melodies, and it was just very emotional and very, very naked. And I was just, when I saw that show, I was like, it really touched me, and I was like, okay, I can do something like this, you know, with what I've learned on a guitar, and kind of like it really spoke to me and carved out a path for me, and I guess other relatable acts to that. Or like Song So High and that kind of like lo-fi very, very,
I mean,
stuff. Yeah,
you're awfully often compared to Daniel Johnston as songwriter from the reviews that I've read. I can see similarities, but I think that your music is more melodic and more smooth and less grainy, and it's vulnerable music. And I kind of wanted to talk about that, your writing, your songwriting process, and what you write. You tend to really bare your heart on the records that you put out. How did you become brave in the sense of I'm pouring my heart out in these songs, and then the bravery to go and stand, you know, oftentimes alone in your solo career and deliver these emotional sensitive pieces. Like, how did you navigate that? Was that difficult to start like putting yourself out there with your music when you first were starting to do performances under your name?
I think actually the way I write songs are very immediate and maybe a little bit naive. I just sit down, start strumming a guitar and sing some words, and when something strikes me as good enough. I write it down, and then it kind of evolves into a song. And often it doesn't take that long. I mean, funny enough, a lot of my songs, since I've got kids, are written at work in my breaks. I'm a teacher in the music room. So why is that personal? I don't know. I guess it's just who I am, but it's also definitely has something to do with my inspirations. And as I said, the Sophia show just really, really did something, and kind of like, okay, this really connects with me, and I want to do something like this. And later on, I discovered a lot of other bands, like Songs of Hire, Elliott Smith, all those Red House, the whole slowcore thing, Red House Painters Low. And so I think it's a combination of just who I am and what I'm capable to do with what I've learned, and then my inspirations. I've never thought it was like difficult to perform with the songs. Mm. It just feels natural, I guess. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I like too what you're saying too, is that I was reading that your flaws or not the flaws, but the mistakes or the in the songs that you produce are a part of it. Like it's like you tend to kind of go with your gut and just like let things come out and flow. And you're not from what I was reading, you're not meticulous with the production, and like you want it to be genuine music.
Yeah, I really like that whole lo-fi aesthetic because I think it's to me it feels very authentic, and I love if you can hear those mistakes and quirky sounds natural sounds from the environment around you, and especially with the new album Burn Burn Here. I really thought that I would be very immediate also in terms of recording and not fix a lot of stuff afterwards. There's this song on the album, I think, in a pitch black sky, I think it's called. I'm not in the pitch black sky. I hadn't memorized the lyrics yet when I recorded it, so I kind of turned my head away from the microphone once in a while to look at the lyrics, and somehow it sounded, like old, for example, Guided by Voices or something, where you kind of like the sounds drop in and out, and to me that sounded kind of cool because I like that stuff, so I just kept it.
It definitely adds character to it. It adds personality and character. And how do you go about writing songs, Jacob? Like, what's your process? Like, do you you were kind of alluding to it a little bit before? Does it typically start with like a bunch of lyrics that you have together, or a sentence, or is it you find a thread on a guitar and then you start adding lyrics to it? Like, and then when do you know when you've hit on something? So kind of a two-part question, like what's your process? And then when do you know you're on something kind of exciting?
I think in general, I do, as I said before, and I'm very focused on melody. You know, I really like stuff that's catchy. And immediate, and then of course I don't know, the lyrics are just also very immediate, and I kind of just know when it feels right, but I'm also mostly I'm writing songs with the album project in my head. So often I'm like writing songs for an upcoming for an album I want to make, and I have a lot of thoughts about how I want to do that album and the aesthetics, and that's also something that is in the back of my mind when I'm writing the songs. Is this going to be like a very, very slow core, album? And I'm also very aware of my inspirations. You know, I love Sparkle Horse, and So that's also in the back of my mind, what kind of song I want to write.
Right.
Should it be more like indie, noisy indie rock
Right.
or something like
Right.
up-tempo? Yeah. But I don't know. It just, I really just go with my gut feeling, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And if we were to talk a little bit about your latest record that came out December, Burn Burn Here, how did that record come together? Like, how did you construct it? Did you see that big picture before you started recording the songs, or was it you had a few songs and then it started to build and you added new songs, or did you have all the songs and then started to assemble it?
No, I think when some there's different stuff that kind of led me to write an album again, because I have been kind of productive in a period of time. Maybe some people will say that it's been like that for 20 years soon, but I released an album in 2022 called When the Spiders Crawl. It's kind of like more like a noisy thing. And then I made my first album with Danish lyrics under the name Steady Støj, which came out last year. And there was all this stuff about like making, I do everything myself also in terms of releasing it. So making vinyls and all that kind of stuff. So I've been in that release mode for a long time. And I was actually growing a bit, I was getting a bit exhausted and also started like doubting the whole thing a little bit, I guess. Also because of like the business side of it, you know, prices going up on vinyls, and it's getting more difficult to sell them, and you know, that whole thing. And then I just thought, you know, what I really, really love is making the albums, it's making the music. All this stuff I'm really not, I really can't control. You're not kind of, you know, it's, yeah. So, out of that, I was just like, I'm going to make a new album. I'm going to do what I love. I'm not going to spend my time worrying about selling albums or making expensive vinyl releases and stuff like that. So I just started writing a new album, got into that whole creative thing again. And just to jump in the story, that's also why I only released it on a limited amount of CDs, which I kind of like hand assembled and numbered, and I didn't, there was no singles, just like very fast processed the whole thing, and it just felt really good. And the other thing in terms of the aesthetics of the album, I kind of went back to what I did maybe with my, like some of the very early stuff, singing in this very very creaky voice, and kind of like very, very, some songs are very slow. And that was also an inspiration, because I guess Sparkle Horse was also an inspiration for that. That project has often been an inspiration for me, but in 2023, this album came out that was never released. And that really also inspired me to start writing this album. And I guess, writing these kind of slow, I wanted to write these very slow songs, a little bit reminiscent of what he was doing. Yeah, also,
absolutely. Yeah. I see the connection for sure.
So that's
the sparseness and the kind of the mystery a little bit behind it. You know.
So I guess a combination of being really inspired by finally getting to hear this lost album, and also being kind of frustrated with the like processes of releasing singles and vinyls and trying to sell all this, you know, physical stuff and trying to get, you know, the whole side of it.
Yeah. I mean, you aren't held hostage for finances for your music, right? Like you're a teacher, or you're in academics.
Yeah, I'm a like school teacher, second grade teacher actually. from
amazing.
So I'm a teacher living in a relatively small town with my family, and then I do these records in the basement.
And 11 records though, Jacob. I mean, it's unbelievable the production that you do and the dedication. This has been since 1998 that you've been putting releases out, and you've put one out like pretty systematically over the years. How do you manage? And I know you have children too. You have a beautiful wife. You have a life that is apart from music. How do you find time to be so prolific with your writing at the same time as having this whole other world of, you know, your job and your life and your family? And like, how do you balance those?
I guess it's just, I've come to think of music in recent years as my big hobby, you know, and I'm actually grateful to have a steady job now, and an income, and I'm happy that you know I'm able to pay for doing my music through my job,
it's amazing.
So I'm not in that mindset that I have to earn a lot of money or something like on doing my music. I'm just happy if small list just like goes around financially. That's a part of it. But I just keep doing it because it just gives me good thoughts. It's something good and creative to think about, and I'm getting excited when I'm in that kind of world of making music and building these small worlds. Albums feels like small worlds. It's kind of like when I was a child, playing with my G.I. Joe figures, action figures, and making all these stories. That's and cool.
I've
always been like that, so it just comes natural, I guess. And
it's something you kind of need to do, like it's something that part of your fabric now, right?
Of course when you have a family, I have a family now, and it's, small children take up a lot of your time, so I guess for since since my daughter was born, most of the songs I've written are written in my breaks at work. I go to the music. When my colleagues are going to to have a chat in the breaks and eat their lunch or something like that, I go to the music room and pick up a guitar and I write songs, or I rehearse songs if I have a show, or so much of that is going on there. And then I record in my basement studio at home when the kids are asleep, or if I have a weekend on my own or something like that. I have been doing albums outside of my own studio. And the reason I mentioned that is because that's actually a little bit of a Canadian connection. Cool. Because I did this album in 2000, came out in 2019, and it was recorded in this trailer studio with some musicians. I had this idea of trying to record more or less live with musicians and it was mixed, the album, by Andy McGuffin, if you know about him. Yes. He's a Canadian.
Very cool.
Produced, he did some Great Lake Swimmers albums. Yeah.
And also, what record was that, Jacob?
Your Lips, What?
Yes. What was that record that you recorded?
It's called Shake Off the Fear.
Right.
And it was mixed and mastered by Andy McGuffin. And I reached out to him because I love those early Great Lake Swimmers albums. And also Richard Laviolette, that album called All His Raw Materials, I think.
Yes.
it's a beautiful album.
Wow. Yeah, I talked with Great Lake Swimmers, and
Yeah, no,
I mean,
listened to
that first record that they recorded in the silo.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, it
the
just sounds
crickets
amazing.
and the sounds, and like, it's just like, I love that kind of stuff too.
Yeah,
I
exactly.
appreciate it. Really cool. Well, Jacob, I want to thank you, first off, for hopping on here. I know it's a little bit later on in your neck of the woods, and kids and family and all that. I'm sure you're ready to go have a nap soon.
No, it's
But
nice. It's nice to talk
tell
about
me,
music.
oh, I love it. I love it. I've loved your stories, and I like this timeline that you've kind of painted for us around your music. What's coming down for 2024? Like, what do you hope for your music in this, beginning, this 2024 year?
So far, I'm gonna play some shows. I'm supporting this band called Times Bolt next weekend. Have you ever heard about this? This is a band
No.
from New York, I think, and
Okay.
they haven't made an album for 18 years. But I remember they released, I think, their debut in 2005 or something like that. It's very what do you say, like reminiscent. It kind of sounds like early Will Oldham Palace, Bonnie Prince Billy stuff. Yeah, so yeah, I'm looking forward to both hearing them and play before them next Saturday. And yeah, so just play some shows hopefully, and I have started writing some new songs, and I'm thinking about making an album that's a little bit like a collage or something like that, where songs are recorded different places. Yeah,
Oh, fun.
I have this
That's a
friend
cool idea.
called I think that could be cool. I just read the Guided by Voices biography and got a little bit inspired
Cool.
by what I read about how Robert Plant did the albums in the 80s and stuff like that as
Right.
collages. Yeah, and I have this friend called Klaus Fröhlich, who is in this he has this lo-fi pop band called You Know Love Bunny, and he has a studio. So I talked a little bit about him, if maybe I could go there at some point and record some songs. He's also a visual artist, and he actually made some videos for half Japanese, Jet Fair. Yeah, some animation videos and stuff like this. Yeah, I
Amazing.
can recommend his stuff. Yeah, so yeah,
Jade
that's
Fair, awesome.
also. I don't know. It's in the very early stages. So, but yeah.
Well, it sounds exciting though. I love that you're always thinking of the next thing. Like, you're true to yourself. Your songs are very genuine and like, here I am, but you're always kind of looking for a way to kind of, change things up a little bit, different themes, different ideas. I love that as an artist.
Thank
I
you.
think it's
Yeah,
what
yeah.
keeps you doing 11 records and counting, just those 11 in English that I know.
Yeah.
Plus other bands you've been in, and like, you're so prolific.
Thank you.
So I really want to just thank you, Jacob, for taking some time and sharing your stories. It's been really, really fun.
Yeah, thank you. It was really fun. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. Thanks.
Yeah.
If you're happy with your life, I'm happy with my life. Dancing all night, that look in your eyes, it makes me wonder why your dress is shining. It must be the light, the fading light. We danced all night, we danced all night, we danced all night in the fading light. We danced all night, we danced all night, we danced all night in the fading light. If you're happy with your life, drank all night. We drank all night. We drank all night in the fading light. We drank all night. We drank all night. We drank all night in the fading light. We danced all night. We danced all night. We danced all night in the fading light. We danced all night. We danced all night. We danced all night in the fading light.